The following presentation is from North Pine Baptist Church. We trust that it will help you learn more about God and His message for the world. For more information and to connect with us, visit npbc.org.au.
Please take a seat. Well, thanks for inviting me today. You had no choice. It was really Alan. And I hope they, I think they're on the way back. They've had quite a rainy end of the trip by the sounds. But I'm a real fan of Alan, and I'm so glad he's here. Sounds like you are too. So it's a good match. And we always like a good match, don't we? Now, speaking of good matches, I'm a chaplain for North Devils Rugby League Club, which is a great hashtag, chaplain for the devils. And I've been that for about 10 years now, and before that, 5 years with the North Queensland Cowboys. I'm not going to bang on about rugby league today, but I do want to share a bit of my story and what I've learned as a chaplain in the world outside. So I was a Baptist pastor for about 25 years and really enjoyed that. Actually, that's how I met Alan. That's how I got to know awesome churches like this one. But I've left that now to do two things. One is to work on the fringe of the church and to really develop the chaplaincy piece, because I think it's pretty important. That's what I'm going to talk to you about today, if you're willing to listen. But the other thing is to become a writer. I've written a couple of books for Church World, but the book I'm going to share from today, by the way, is called The Unofficial Chaplain. And I've got a whole bunch of copies here. I've received permission to sell them. No one's going to turn over the tables or anything, I don't think, after. But basically, they're $5 each. If you like what I talk about today, and I'm going to give you a sketch, but if you like what I talk about today, this is the opportunity to go a bit deeper into it. And I've written this book particularly for men. As you can see, it's only got about 40 pages. That's about all a fella's going to read, right? The other book I've written is called The Red Earth Rule. This is part of a trilogy. I'm halfway through the second one now. Now, this is set in Australia. And the idea behind the book is, what if John Lennon's song Imagine came true? No countries, no religion, no possessions. What would that look like for a future Australia? So it's written with an Australian context. And I know that there's one person in the world that's raving about this book, and that's my mum. But if you want to, if you're someone who likes to read a story, this is an ancient future book set in Australia that really deals with faith, particularly the Christian faith, and what would that look like in an environment that's hostile to what we believe. So this is the first of the trilogy. They're $15 today for those ones, and I've got a few more in the car just in case I'm surprised by interest. All right, what I want to do today is begin by reading from a passage in 1 Peter. And this is a key passage for the idea of being an unofficial chaplain. I'm going to talk to you a bit more about what that means soon. But this is the reading. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Who is going to harm you if you're eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, and we've had a talk today about people who live in such a context, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats, do not be frightened, but in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. Now that's 1 Peter 3:10 to 16. Now, this is May Mission Month, and the focus in Baptist churches often is mission out there. But the reason that Alan got me to speak today, or it could be one of two things. Firstly, he ran out of people to invite. Secondly, he wants to just finish off this month with the idea that actually we are all missionaries. And in fact, that's a distinctive of the Baptist Church, you know, a couple of centuries ago, when instead of the mission idea being just something that the, you know, trained clergy did, the Baptists understood that every member is a missionary. But that presents a dilemma, because we've already heard from a gifted missionary leader this morning, and every week you hear sermons from Pastor Alan standing up the front on the pulpit speaking so eloquently, and you think, probably quite rightly, I can't do that. It was interesting. I had a leadership role in Queensland Baptist a bunch of years ago, and there was a survey done of Queensland Baptist people, and the basic personality type of a Queensland Baptist person was someone who was behind the scenes and served. Not the upfront street corner preacher, but the behind the scenes person who was happy to be invisible, but also very happy to serve the people around them. And that's one of the reasons why I published this book that I'm going to speak from today, because chaplaincy is not about controlling the environment, standing up in front of everybody and telling them like it is. Chaplaincy is a below the radar type of service where we serve both Christ and the people around us. In fact, the name for chaplaincy, or the nickname for chaplaincy in the Navy side of the military, is the nickname for the people who work in the submarine area. So the idea is that you're under the surface, quietly going about being someone who represents Jesus, as we've talked about this morning, and bringing the kingdom of God into a place that you're not in charge of. And so when I go to the North Devils Rugby League Football Club, I am not in charge. But I've been invited there and I'm welcome there, because I bring something that people there think is important. In fact, you have to have an understanding of the context here. The North Devils gave me a financial gift recently, and I sent back a thank you to them. And the CEO of the club said, "No, thank you. You are a major contributor to the Devil's Way." And actually, it's meant to be a compliment, because as someone who represents Jesus there, and I do that openly, everyone knows what I'm about, the CEO is saying there's something about the culture that you've been a part of as we've shifted towards something that's better and better. So here we have a beautiful church in this part of town. You live in a neighborhood somewhere. Maybe you work, maybe you don't, doesn't really matter. But you've got a network of people around you who don't know Jesus yet, right? How can you possibly position yourself to reach an Australian person when you're not a stand-up-the-front person, super gifted speaker, right? Well, the answer is unofficial chaplaincy. To embrace this idea that I'm not a preacher, I'm kind of a chaplain. I don't wear a badge or anything. No one calls me Chappy. But I'm someone who has this opportunity to be for the people around me, like Jesus. So I'm going to start moving through the chapters of the book. I'm going to give you a little summary as I go. And then if you want to know more later, you can buy the book if you want, or steal it if you can. So the first thing is to realize, this is chapter one, that you are commissioned to do this. Pastor Alan is a very gifted person, but he doesn't mean as much to the people around you as you do, right? So you can't parachute Pastor Alan into every little conversation or situation you have so that he can be the one who kind of talks about Jesus or represents Jesus. That's your job. But instead of it being this high pressure, I'm sweating, I don't know what to say situation, chaplaincy says just relax, take your time, and just trust that over time, God's going to use little old you to actually sow some seeds of the good news of Jesus, to show a little bit of the goodness of the kingdom of God in the lives of people who know nothing of it yet. And this has been one of the powerful things about being a rugby league chaplain. Most people in rugby league come from broken backgrounds. And I've been able to be a little representative of the Father heart of God, now that I'm an old man, to these people who basically know nothing of the Father heart of God. And so just the way I care about people, just the way I treat people, is the beginnings of a revelation for some that there might be a God who's good and there might be a God who cares. And this chappie is sort of maybe painting a picture for me of what that might look like. Chapter 1, you're commissioned for the task. Chapter 2, and this is really important for Australians, is the chaplaincy, whether it's school chaplaincy, military chaplaincy, emergency services, whatever, is really about holistic care. I think this is really key for Australian people who don't like to be Bible bashed. The idea is that people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care rings true for Australian people. And often love and generosity is the door to that deeper work that God might have in the life of someone. So I've taken players with injury to hospital. I've dropped money around to places. I've given food drops. You got soup day today. I've helped, you know, people who are in desperate need. No one knows about it. That's the secret. This isn't something that's on my resume. Basically, I quietly get about doing all these things because chaplains aren't up the front people. They're behind the scenes people who work underneath the radar. So here's the key. If there is a need I can meet, I ask God to help me meet it. Now, this will take you digging into your pocket sometimes. This will take you going out of your way sometimes. But the point is, if we're going to, as the Christian church, reach a very secular culture, we have to be people who are demonstrably caring for others, not just in it for ourselves. So the reputation that we want to forge in the communities that we are a part of, these are the people that don't know Jesus yet, is not that you're a great Bible basher, but actually you have developed a reputation as someone who actually really cares, and you show up when hardly anyone else does. And isn't that the Jesus way, huh? I reckon it is. That's chapter 2. So fellas, we're moving, aren't we? You'd be happy about that. Chapter 3, you do this as an ambassador for Christ. There are a lot of people out there who do really good things. In fact, having been in the North's footy club for a long time, coming from pretty much full-time church work for 30 years, sometimes in church world, we think we've got the monopoly on caring for people. But there's a lot of very caring, generous people out there who don't know Jesus, right? What motivates us? Well, it's not our own reputation, but it's the fact that we want to actually represent the Christ who fed the thousands, who healed the sick, who was there with the sinners and the tax collectors. That is the Jesus that we want to represent. And so we do this not with a Messiah complex, I'm here to save everybody. No, but we do this consciously as an ambassador for Jesus. Now, when I first wore the devil's clothes, I didn't really know what to do. I said to my wife, Ellie, should I wear a cross or something? But I've put some garlic in my back pocket and I've never had any trouble. The question is, how do we represent Jesus in a place which looks like the opposite? I keep saying to God, I tried the dolphins 5 times. They never got back to me. And here I am, stuck with the devils. But every day when I put on the devil's clothes, I realize that I'm a sheep in wolf's clothing. And I go there representing the Lord that I love, and I've served most of my life. But I'm learning to serve him outside the walls of places, beautiful places like this, by the way. But actually, it's out there where more is needed. In here is great. It's important. But out there, so much more is needed. We need ambassadors of Christ in our neighborhoods, in our workplaces, not Bible bashers, but people who care. But what we do, chapter 4, is that we're prepared to share our hope. In other words, the expectation in 1 Peter appears to be that Christian people, sometimes under pressure, will be observed by the people around them, right? So when you live in your neighborhood, at your workplace, people actually see who you are, how you respond to certain situations, whether you're a person who lives with a hope or you feel hopeless about things. Sometimes we all feel a bit hopeless. But the idea is that people are intrigued by the life that you live, and they therefore ask questions. Now, just two training nights ago, I was there with one of the staff who was saying, I wish, you know, Jesus would return soon because the world's in such a bad place. And I was really surprised about that. And then he went on to talk about some things like aliens and all sorts of things. It was a beautiful conversation, by the way, because I realized, who else in this person's world can they ask or a question like that or talk about something like that? But if you're someone who positions yourself as an unofficial chaplain in the lives of people, what happens over time is that you get to be the person that they share this crazy idea with, or they say, well, my mum used to believe in God, I don't, but, you know, why do you? And these sorts of things. I can honestly say that in my time as a chaplain, I don't push, because if I pushed, I would not be a chaplain at North anymore. They would have shown me the door, the devil's door, at some point in the past. I don't push, I wait. And what happens is God's working right in the lives of people, and I happen to be there to be someone who they can reach out to and ask that question. We are prepared to share our hope. That is really, really important, and that's part of being an artificial chaplain. Chapter 5 is that we leverage our relationships for good. Now, leverage is an interesting word to use. I'm not talking about pyramid selling. We're not like God's Amway people. If you're into Amway, that's great. Nothing wrong with that, but this is not about using our friends. This is about realizing that there's a power in relationships that is natural and important, and God uses it all the time. The stories we hear about someone hearing a street preacher and suddenly, you know, the light shines down from heaven, they're converted, they are so rare. And I just really sometimes struggle when the churches, the story that the church often wants to hear is that miraculous boom one, when actually the quiet behind the scenes work is where the best stuff gets done. And for most people, that's how it happens. So there are three levels of relationship. I'm going to talk about it really quickly. One is that people think you're just a good person. That's first base, right? You're a decent human being. What a super place to start. Over time, as they hang around you and see, you know, this person cares about things and cares about me, maybe. The second level of this friendship stuff is that you become the person they can talk to about spiritual stuff or God, like I just described before. And so suddenly you've become in this relationship that talking about God, where else can they do this? Talking about God is something that happens with you. And the third level is when God is really at work in someone's life and he turns their life around. What did Jesus say? What did John the Baptist say? Repent and believe. When God moves in someone's life and they're at that turnaround point, the third level is that you accompany them to whatever it is that there is their next step. And that's probably coming to your local church, right? And I often say to people, who wants to see their friends sitting beside them in church? And lots of people would put their hand up. Then I ask the question, I'm not going to trick you by doing it here today. Who's prepared to do all the behind-the-scenes work in caring for people? Who's prepared to wait and hope and pray and have those conversations when the time is right? Because as far as I can tell, the most likely opportunity for the friends that you know to be sitting beside you in church one day is because you've been something like an unofficial chaplain in their life. And you've served them that way, and you help them along the journey. The next one is to anticipate antagonism. To realize that not everyone's going to think you're a rock star if you're a chaplain. Not everyone is going to like the fact that you represent God. Now, this could be for all sorts of reasons. One of them might be an abuse, a church abuse background, or something really negative in their story about God or the church. And so you bring all that stuff up for them, and they don't like it. Or they know Christians. Christians are just Bible bashers. They're just people that want to get you into church, get your money, and all that sort of stuff. Those ideas are out there, right? We have to anticipate that some people won't like it at first. I remember when I was started at the Cowboys, I'd never had a chaplain before, and two of the most famous people there, you'll know who they are if you follow rugby league, they said to one of the senior staff, why do we have a chaplain here? And that was their question. And so time went on, and sadly, one of the players in the team took their life. And essentially, at that moment, and this is a thing in young adult world, this is a thing in rugby league, that's why actually chaplaincy is honored in this space, is because I was able to come alongside the team. They had a psychologist come along for the day. The psychologist saw three people. I saw everyone. And the strength and conditioning coach the next day said he'd overheard these same two people talking. And they said, that's why we have a chaplain. You can change minds, right? The Apostle Paul was totally antagonistic against the church. Mind got changed. You can be someone who changes minds. But you have to be prepared that not everyone is going to be positive about you. And certainly not at first. We're almost there. Number seven is intercessory prayer. I'm going to finish with a prayer today that's in this unofficial chaplain book. I think it's a ripper prayer to pray on the way to work or if you're going to meet people or whatever. But praying for people is so important. I've got a list of people I pray for at home. Maybe you do too. Here's what I've found and what other people have found too. That our confidence in our little role as an unofficial chaplain, our confidence in the fact that God just might use me a little bit here and there in the lives of these people goes up exponentially when we know that we've prayed and we've prayed and we've prayed. And that heaven has heard the names of all these people. God knows, of course. But the idea is that there's some strength, spiritual strength that comes when I've prayed for that person by name and that's a habit of mine. And so developing the habit of praying for people who don't know Jesus, people who are in your world, is super, super important. And now we get to the best part of the sermon where the guy says, and finally, the final chapter is about nudging. It's called nudge. Again, we're not Bible bashing. We are not pushing. Chaplaincy, if you're a skilled chaplain, sports chaplain like me in the military or whatever, it is a ministry of nudging. And what we realize with Australians when they do come to follow Jesus is very often it's been quite the journey of two steps forward, one step back, and slowly, slowly but surely. And this is one of the things that most people find really encouraging when I talk about this idea. Maybe you could position yourself as an unofficial chaplain to the people around you. When they realize that it's not that, you know, palm sweaty moment where I've just got to deliver it all and I've got 2 seconds to get it all out. No. You've got time. You have this relationship with people, and over time, little nudge, little nudge, little nudge. The compounding effect of those efforts helps draw someone towards Jesus and ultimately, hopefully, into the kingdom of God. So I want to finish now with the unofficial chaplain's prayer, but with this encouragement saying, what if you don't have to be a big upfront person? What if you don't have to be an eloquent speaker? What if the power of your mission is that I'm working behind the scenes, under the radar, doing little things bit by bit, day by day, week by week, that accrue towards something special. As God has his secret agents planted all over the place in all sorts of networks and communities for the purpose of bringing about opportunity to talk about the gospel of Christ and to share the hope that you have. So that's my encouragement today on this last May Mission Sunday. This is not about other people now. This is about you and how important you are in God's scheme of things, but not because you're a big dog, this or that, but because you have the desire, the heart, to do the quiet, behind-the-scenes, gentle work of representing Jesus wherever you might be, wherever he's put you. All right, well, I'm going to finish now with the unofficial chaplain's prayer. I'd invite you to stand with me as I pray it. Remember, after the service, if you think, hey, I'm interested in that, these are $5. You can get them on Kindle and Amazon and all that stuff. Here's the unofficial chaplain's prayer. Heavenly Father, today I am commissioned to do good to the people around me. If someone has a need I can meet, enable me to see it and meet it. Help me be a credible ambassador for Christ who serves diligently and models integrity. May I always be prepared to share my faith and hope in simple, appropriate ways. Help my relationships deepen and my spiritual influence increase as I invest time in people. Give me the strength to accept antagonism and to respond with a blessing. Stir me, Holy Spirit, to pray for people privately and with them opportunely. Today, Lord, help me nudge someone in your direction. Amen. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us for this presentation from North Pine Baptist Church. For more information and to connect with us, visit npbc.org.au.